Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, we've got Justin Ficarotta.
How's it going, Blake Buck?
Doing good, sir. No William Miller this week. I hear he's having to work late because of, like, hurricane nonsense, right?
He's hiding from the storm.
Oh, dude, you know what's, like, really, like, cryptic? What if, like, he dies from the hurricane, and now we're, like, we're making jokes, and we're going to put it out next week, and we're awful.
And it's going to air post-mortem.
Right, and of course I wouldn't have, because I'll forget this show immediately after we do it and just put it on the internet. I never have the foresight to plan that out. Anyway, this is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, August 31st, 2011.
Dude, I just realized, what if it kills me too?
Oh, that's true.
I should do a sign-off at the end of this show, like a farewell in case I die.
Well, you know, good luck with that.
A verbal last will and testament.
Dude, whatever. When Katrina came through Mississippi, my girlfriend, her house got destroyed. Then she got a new house, and it was way better. You never know.
I'm 25 stories up, Blake Buck. If it takes my house, I'm falling a long way down.
You'll be fine. Look, you just I don't know. Make it a game, Justin Fick. Need some game design on it.
Survive.
That's the mechanic. Not dead.
I'm ready for this shit. I got my rubber arm floaties. I got my kite. I'm ready to rock this fucker.
All right, so what do we got in the news, Justin Fick?
All right, so big news from me. This is my story of the week. A couple days ago, Steve Jobs resigned as the Apple CEO.
Oh no! See, that's William is really just weeping.
he's in mourning. he's somewhere between his second and third stage of grief.
Yeah, he's at the stage. He's at ignoring podcast friends. I think that's one of the stages of.
that's all the stages. Of grief. Ignore podcast.
Now, and we just looked at, I'll just show you this picture of him, Jessica. He's looking rough, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, dude, like all the pictures everywhere else are showing Steve Jobs in his keynotes, and he looks good, he's got his turtleneck. And then Blake Buck before the show shows me this picture of Steve Jobs on, what was that site, TMZ?
TMZ. I got it from old, what's his, remember we had him on the show years ago, old Peter, is it Cohen? The Mac, he used to do Macworlds.
Yeah.
He tweeted it.
Man, okay.
That guy, man, I don't know what he does. He just like spews Mac stuff. Like I don't even think he has a job. He just.
I think he's yeah. He writes. He writes for Loop Insight. I don't know if he's freelance or if that's like his gig now. But he's making a living still writing. So that's good. And he's a fucking funny guy too.
He is.
But this picture. Steve Jobs was like fucking Skeletor.
Yeah, just type Skeletor Steve Jobs TMZ. You'll find it. Anyway, so how does this affect the gaming industry, Justin Ficht? What's the tie-in here?
Well, I mean gaming industry directly. It's maybe like a couple of degrees away. So I mean this affects obviously Apple's products and and that kind of stuff. I mean he's still gonna be. In the board of directors, so he still has the ability to, give input on ideas and come up with shit. And so it's probably not going to affect things very heavily for a couple years, if at all. I mean, and Apple kind of already has its direction. So, I mean, it's just a question of if it can maintain that direction.
Right.
And, it's also, like, its influence on the game industry, I'd say it's already been played. I mean, with the iPad, the iPhone, I mean, they have already affected the gaming industry in such huge ways.
Right.
So it's, I don't know, I mean, it seems like the next year or two just seems, I would imagine would be iterations on the iPad, right? iPad 3, iPhone 5, just better versions of the shit they had before.
At the same time, though, it seems like if you look at the history of Apple, just to kind of look at Apple for a minute... Like, you have the time when Steve Jobs was there, it's like, it thumbs up, everything's great. And then when he wasn't there, it was awful nightmare. Like, in less than 5 years, it went to nightmare town very quickly.
Yeah.
And
then he came back and it was like, fucking rise from the ashes.
Right. So it's like, so, I don't want to say that, you know, oh, he's that entire company, but in a way, I mean, he certainly has.
He's the vision behind it, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be crucial what Apple does. It's certainly in terms of its, you know, I mean, and to tie us into gaming more, I mean, you know, to say that Nintendo always takes that stance of, oh, well, our products don't compete with telephones. Well, where's Alexander Graham Bell? I don't see him around. But, I mean, it is...
I could beat him in a death match.
Yeah, why is Nintendo like this old British man for some reason?
I don't know. Last week he was a samurai.
Yeah, where's my music? I got... Oh, no, I gave that up. Never again. Where is... So what... I'm sorry, I'm distracted. What... I'm definitely not trying to find the file.
So Tim Cook is going to be taking over as CEO. He was the COO before, and he kind of ran things while Steve Jobs has been in and out of, you know, medical leave. So I don't think there's any difference in the way Apple's going to be run. I mean, Tim Cook's basically running the show anyway. So I don't see any difference with that. It's just, you know, with... when Steve Jobs is gone, I mean, he's still there on the board. So, you know, his influence is still at Apple, but you know, when he dies or beams back to his planet or whatever he does, you know, will Tim Cook and the crew there have the vision to keep on coming up with this cool shit? So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It remains to be seen. And is Steve Jobs, I mean, you never know, I mean, Steve Jobs, we looked this up, he's only 56. I mean, this could be like, oh, his health is deteriorated. It's not looking great, but, you know, at the same time, he could still live another 10 years in sort of or hell, might even get better. Lord knows he's got the money for the drugs.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know, that TMZ picture, man, makes it look like he's 90.
Yeah.
Like, he looks old.
But, I mean...
Like, I don't know if they went fucking National Enquirer and... you know, photoshopped out, like, all of his body fat or what.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, that picture makes him look completely emaciated.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Because, again, it could be like, you know, he still could hang around for another 10 years. Hell, 15 years, or he could be dead next week. So, what exactly it means remains to be, you know, detailed. Anyway, my news for you this week, Justin Fick. It's Halo CE, which I guess I was thinking Collector's Edition, but I think that means Combat Evolved.
Yeah, see, it's Halo 1's.
The remake that they're doing by... Man, that's what gets me. This remake is being done, of course, not by Bungie, and it's done by 343 Industries, Saber Interactive, and Certain Affinity. It's three different companies working on it now.
Wow, okay.
Which does not sound good at all. When was the last time any game was designed by like a variety of teams and or people that turned out to be a, you know... I mean,
there was Duke Nukem Forever and... wait. Well, the thing is, like, this isn't an original thing either. It's just like, look, the game is out. Make it again.
Right.
Exactly the way it was before. Copy it.
Well, the news...
Don't do anything funny.
The news that's come out this week is that the remake Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition is going to be sporting full stereoscopic 3D.
Oh, that will be an example of doing something funny.
I don't know. I mean, it does... I don't know. I guess I've never seen one of these 3D TVs. I mean, maybe, I mean, because I'm also nigh unemployed. I'm working.
What do you mean nigh unemployed?
You know what, listeners? You know what I think the listeners really want, Justin Fick? They want, we're going to change our show to just expensive electronic review show, and all the listeners just send us what they want us to review. Oh, yeah. Do you want a 3D television reviewed? Well, you'll need to send us three.
Send us one. We have no fucking jobs.
But I don't know. It could be. Has anybody done any 3D TV gaming? I mean, I can see how that could be very, very cool. God knows I love my Virtual Boy collecting dust in my closet somewhere, but it could be cool. I mean, Halo's fun. I mean, 3D Halo seems like it'd be fun. I know they had Black Ops, I think, last year, had some 3D stuff, on at least on the PlayStation, maybe on the Xbox, too.
I mean, the thing is, like, I mean, I haven't played a 3D game, but, I mean, having seen 3D movies and watched 3D TVs, like, it's still nothing more than a novelty to me. Like, this is just a tack-on feature as far as I'm concerned.
I think that's how it largely is now. I think that you could still do it and have it be more immersive, but, yeah, it's sort of like, I don't know. I would imagine, like, when movies came out, in color, right? I don't actually know this as fact. I'm talking out of my ass, but I would imagine, like, there was probably a tendency to be like, let's make everything super bright and super colorful, right? Or a better example would be when stereo, right, came out, when stereo records came out, and everybody's like, let's put the drums on the left and the singing on the right. Wahoo! Right? And, like, that it seems silly now. Like, I go back and listen to some of these Beatles records that are in, like, stereo, and they just sound ridiculous.
Well, the thing, like, also, like, I have one broken speaker, so I can't listen to Beatles anymore. It just sounds like ass. Like, I don't hear, like, half the instruments anymore. I'm like, why the fuck was this?
Well, nobody really, I mean, I guess you still do, but, like, it seems like nowadays in music production, you use it more for, like, creating width and you know, like, it's still, like, stereo is important, but it's not used in the rudimentary, like, novelty kind of fashion it was when it came out. And I feel like 3D is kind of at that same level where it's like, let's do wild, zany things instead of just enjoy this without having, you know, it literally leap out at you, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but also, you know, the thing with color and stereo is these are things that you can enjoy and that add to the experience without any sort of extra equipment. Well, like, you don't have to wear special earphones to hear stereo. You don't have to wear special glasses to see color. You have to put extra shit on your face.
Well, I think that that's...
And then even when you don't, like, with a 3DS, it still hurts your fucking eyes.
Well, I think that it'll get better over time. I think that surely somebody will come up with a way. I mean, look at me. I know nothing about technology at all. But surely somebody will come up with, you know... Because, nobody wants to wear glasses, right?
I mean...
Except for that guy on CSI Miami. Yo! Every time I put on 3D glasses from now on, I have to do that.
The 3D that would get me going is... I mean, and this is total pie in the sky shit, but, you know, an actual, like, you know, three-dimensional image. So, you know, just instead of looking at a screen, you have this box, this cube, this volumetric monitor, I guess, and you can actually draw 3D things in that.
I think you could do that now. I mean, is that not sort of what the 3D is now? It's sort of like I guess now this is getting strange and technical, but like the front of the TV would be like its maximum, its closest it can get to you, right? And then like it can create depth further back. So isn't that kind of the same thing?
No, I mean, like, you actually have this cube of space. So you're not looking at a screen anymore. You have this thing in front of you. Inside this thing, it draws stuff.
You're saying Tron. you want to be in Tron.
Well, I mean, they have prototypes of this stuff. I remember when I was at college, I used to, you know, slum around the library, and I found a cool little paper on volumetric monitors. So they can do it. And they can do like kind of like vector graphics in the 3D space,
let's make 3D asteroids in real space.
Fuck yeah, dude!
Oh my god!
But there are ways to sort of fake 3D on a 2D screen that are cool that don't require extra face.
That's not as cool to me, volumetric, because you can't create a world, right? You're still like locked within the confines of like the physical space that you're occupying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can never have a convincing, like, landscape or, you know, being outside or something in that.
True. Yeah, like, would an environment that takes up more space than the monitor can show, would that be less convincing?
Right. And games are usually bigger than the space in your living room.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I can see
how... I mean, for instance, another version of 3D that I like is... anything that uses a camera can do head tracking, and it takes the position of your head and also it sort of like adjusts the viewing angle on the television. So you can sort of look at the television from different angles and see into this this pseudo 3D space behind the screen. I think that's what you're talking about.
I think so. Maybe.
And that is actually very cool. Like, I hope that takes off a little more. Like, it's hard to do on a television, but it's easy to do on something that that you're holding up close. Like a, you know, like the iPad could do it. The you know, a 3DS could do it.
Mm-hmm.
The Vita, maybe, if it has a camera in it, I forget.
Well, like, look, don't worry. Look, we hadn't gotten to the end of display technology, Justin Fick. It's coming. Anyway, it's also going to, this is also going to support the Kinect, Halo, Combat Evolved. I keep wanting to say Championship Edition, but I don't know what it's going to do with the Kinect. They still haven't announced it. Which could it possibly be some sort of head tracking, Justin Fick, fingers crossed, maybe something cool like that?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know if, the 3D head tracking, but maybe some sort of, being able to aim with it or something might be cool.
No.
There's that kind of, kind of like Fruit Ninja for Kinect, where it just sort of makes you let go and just act like a fucking ninja in front of your television. Just like, just go ape shit. So, if Halo can make me go ape shit and pick up like this, pick up my two hands like I'm holding a rifle and just start moving my hands around like a crazy person, like shooting stuff. Like, well, I think that would be fun.
I think it works for Fruit Ninja because it's a simple game and, you're in like that kind of silly, fun atmosphere when you're playing it. I'm playing Halo, I don't want to be acting like, it seems like the experience of like wiggling around and being silly is not what I want in a game like Halo.
Maybe it would need its own, like, dedicated game to it where it's, not as hardcore as Halo, where it lets you just be an idiot in front of the screen and act like you're a space marine shooting shit all over the place. Mm.
Anyway, so we'll have more details on this. It comes out on November 15th, so I'm sure we'll find out more with more delicious Microsoft press releases. Justin Fick, what you got for us?
All right, next up, I have a debacle for you, Blake Buck.
Uh-oh.
So there's a debacle between GameStop and Square Enix. So this is all around Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Is that any good? Everybody, it seems like everybody's talking about that game. Just, I can't get excited about it.
I don't know, like, it's one of those things where if everyone else buys it and says, Justin Fick, this is awesome, go get it, I'll get it. And, because right now I have no interest in it.
It's got some okay scores. I'm looking at him now. But what is this debacle? All
right, so Square Enix sort of distributed this game with the PC retail version of the game, mind you, with a free online digital copy of the game. So this will let you play game streaming. And unfortunately, when it hit GameStop, GameStop realized that they were putting these coupons in there for on live, which is, apparently a competitor to GameStop. And
I would say definitely.
Yeah. So they removed all of the coupons from the game and sold them without them.
Dude. Can you do that? Like, it seems like, I made this game. Cool. We're going to sell it in our store. Oh, we're just going to open it and throw this shit away, though, that you put in there. That doesn't seem exactly legal.
Yeah, I mean it's shady shit. It's like some of the stuff I would have done, like we did at Cosmo Games back in L.A.
Wasn't this like you were getting PlayStations and selling from like Walmart and selling them down the street for more money and then robbing orphanages or something?
Some of the shit we did is when this was when the PS2 and the GameCube and the original Xbox all came out. We went and bought them out from, cleaned That's out right. the Best Buy, cleaned out the Target around us, and then sold it at our place, but with bundles. So you couldn't buy it by itself. You had to buy three games with it. And also, we bought used games from people, and then we had a shrink wrap machine in the back. We shrink wrapped them and sold them as new.
Oh, Lord.
That's it was awful. Shady shit. But anyway, GameStop copped to it even. They're like, look, like, Square Enix, the quote here, Square Enix packed the competitor's coupon with our product without our prior knowledge, and we did pull and discard the coupons.
Our product? What, excuse me?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So you didn't make the game, son.
Yeah, like, is one of us drunk? Because that happens to me a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, it gets a little more dicey. I mean, GameStop posted comment on its Facebook page saying, here's another quote, regarding the Deus Ex Human Revolution OnLive codes, we don't make a habit of promoting competitive services without a formal partnership. Square Enix packed the competitor's coupon with our DHXR product without our prior knowledge, and we did pull these coupons. So, So it got kind of crazy. So, I mean,
but that was GameStop, right? That wasn't.
Yeah, that's GameStop.
Has Square Enix said anything?
Both. After a while, Square Enix turned around and issued a statement to GameSpot,
saying,
the news site,
saying we will see you in court. Right? It seems like that was
not really. They kind of realized that they were in the wrong. I mean, not. I guess not like in the you know, sort of like the.
How are they in the wrong? I don't understand. I'm
not in the moral sense, but the legal sense.
I don't see how that I don't know. To me, that represents such a small section of like their base of people who are buying that game is GameStop.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, for instance, I'm not on GameStop's side here. I think, you know, if there is this coupon in there and GameStop doesn't want to sell the game, then don't fucking sell the game. You know, the end result of everything. Mm-hmm. So Square Enix kind of apologized and said, our bad. And then GameStop also turned around and said, look, you know, because it kind of blew up in their faces and rightly so. Mm-hmm. So CEO of GameStop has apologized to the customers. And if you've bought the PC version of Deus Ex, you will get a $50 gift certificate and you will get a buy two, get one free coupon.
But let's just I don't know, but that you know who loses here is OnLive, right? It seems like,
yeah.
Like, how about you just give us the codes, right? Oh, look, yeah. Buy more things at GameStop. Don't worry about it, kids.
Yeah, so it's like they've kind of apologized by, you know, allowing you to shop at their store more. I mean, you know, $50 gift certificate gets you almost all of a way of a, you know, almost a $60 game.
I'm just...
And if you buy a second one, they'll give you a third one free, so...
I'm done with this. I'm done with GameStop. I swear, it's just... there's nothing to like about that company. There's nothing. There is nothing to like about it. Like, if you're in a small town or something, it's the only place you can buy games. Sure, yeah. But... oh, my God. It's just the fucking worst. It's the worst... The worst... Ugh.
Well, dude, mark my words. They're going the way of the dodo. I guarantee it.
Certainly. I mean, certainly. Well, then again, they're just going to keep ripping codes out. That's how they're going to fight it.
Yeah, that's their business model. Jank them codes.
Yeah. They're like, well, we'll instead of a DLC, we put some GameStop dollars in there. Yeah. There's a gum wrapper from Steve's pocket in there too. Are you in Vegas? Here's Mandy's number
for a good time. Mandy's a GameStop employee.
Dude, I still have some of those in my pocket. The my street ladies who wanted to meet me, still got them. I hand them out to girls, and they hate it.
Dude, did I ever tell you the story when I was out at Halloween in Vegas and got those cards?
No, what is that?
So Justin Fick was out on hot date for Halloween.
Okay.
And Justin Fick was dressed as a pirate.
Okay.
And I know I told this at some point in the show, but anyway, we're walking on the strip. We're drunk. We're obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the dudes are on the strip handing out the cards for, like, hot, horny schoolgirls, mm-hmm, and whatnot.
Which just happens in Vegas, which still blows my mind. It's like, here's a naked woman. $30. Call me, and I'll have sex with you, is basically what it says on the card. How does it... Because I know I'm not going to get the girl on the card. God damn it, anyway.
You might just get a dude holding a pocket pussy saying go. But so anyway, I'm collecting all these cards because I'm drunk. Usually I just, you know, wave the guy off. I'm like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. But today I'm dressed as a pirate and I'm drunk and obnoxious. So I start collecting all these cards and, you know, I got like a whole stack of them in my hands mm-hmm. by, you know, after a couple blocks. I'm like, what the fuck do I start doing with these? So I start handing them back to the same guys. Like we're trading fucking baseball cards.
Okay.
He's like, I'll trade you like three Asian girls for like hot horny school girls and blah, blah, blah. So I start like haggling with the guys and then I start handing them out myself.
Okay.
Like anyone that passes them is like hot horny school girls. And I think I managed to flick one into a baby carriage while it was passing by. But, like right in the middle of where the Bellagio fountains are, mm-hmm. you know, where all that hubbub is going on, there is one of those like sandwich board megaphone preacher guys. Mm-hmm. So the whole, you know, like the sandwich board is like, you know, Jesus saves you from hell. And, oh, you know, no. he was yelling at all the sinners at the, you know, at the Bellagio fountains about how Jesus can save them from a life of sin and blah, 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 blah. So being drunk and obnoxious, I walk up to him. I'm like, sir, excuse me. I'm like, are you a man of God, sir? And he's like, yes, I am. You know, I'm like, would you like to see some hot, horny schoolgirls that want to fuck you right now? And I start like flicking the cards at him like fucking Gambit from X-Men. And dude fucking like takes the megaphone up and just starts screaming in my face. He's like, you're the reason we're all going to hell. It's like you're gonna damn us all. I'm just like, but help, just put my sister through college. Just, you know, flicking cards at him and fucking standing ovation from all the people at the fountains.
Oh, that is amazing.
I don't remember much else from that night. I remember waking up in a driveway the next morning.
Oh, that's right. I remember the driveway wake up. I remember that part of this story.
Yeah, the hot date ended with me face down in my neighbor's driveway in a pirate costume covered in my own vomit.
Oh, man. Speaking of, Justin Fick, I don't know if we should say this now, but rumor has it, Justin Fick, that I'm going to be moving to New York here very soon.
Oh, man.
Not very far from where you live, Justin Fick.
Oh, man. Dude, you know what that means?
You know, it's going to be Pirate Night Part 2 here soon. It's going to be bad. Look.
Dude, I know some places, Blake Buck. There's one of these places by you. There's one of these places by me. It's called Barcade.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Dude, I'm gonna take your ass to Barcade. We're gonna get fucking drunk. Oh, we're gonna play 70s and 80s arcade
games. Dude, it's gonna be bad.
Until we fucking throw up everywhere.
First, it was an earthquake. Then there was a hurricane.
And then Blake and now, Buck comes to
then
town.
Then there's Blake Buck. All right. You laugh now. When you're dead, you won't laugh because you'll be dead.
Well, Blake Buck, you better make sure I die happy and drunk.
Oh, I can guarantee that. Either that or weeping. One or the other. Flip a coin.
I want to die happy, drunk, and with a controller in my hands. That's how I know I have lived a good life. I don't care when it happens. Just those must be the circumstances. Yeah,
we'll have to just saw the cabinet off to bury you with it. It's just so tightly gripped.
Yeah, the arcade cabinet is my coffin.
Yeah, just
Blake Buck, don't let me end up like Steve Jobs on TMZ fucking completely skeletorized.
Yeah, if you ever get that sick, Justin Fick, I'll just murder you and put you in an arcade cabinet. Don't worry about it. So Deus Ex, looking at Metacritic scores here. It's got around a...
Speaking of vomit.
It's got around a 90 on game rankings and Metacritic, which is very good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So, but perhaps I misspake calling it, a cash-in on an old IP. Maybe it's got... But I don't know. We'll see. I'll have to look more into it. But if anybody is bummed about this, let us know. Because, oh my god, fuck GameStop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, like, I don't know. Like you said, it's such a small number. It's like, who's buying the PC version of Deus Ex?
Well, the original game was PC, so I would imagine compared to other games, probably.
Okay, I could be wrong there.
But I don't know. It's like, I played Deus Ex. Is that such a huge IP, really? Are there people like, oh shit, new Deus Ex, hot damn, can't wait? I mean,
Deus Ex was a wonderful game, and I wouldn't call it a nice IP because the second game was shit.
Mm.
The second game was bad.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't call it a huge franchise. It's just, you know, here's another game in a, you know, in a franchise where the first game was legendary. So it's, you know, will this live up to
you
it?
You know what I want to get on, Justin Fick, especially now that I'll be up in New York and we can do these kind of, or I can do these kinds of things. You always read about these things, like, where when, you know, game reviewers get to look at the game a few weeks before they come out, and they get to, mm-hmm. They get, like, flown to these four-star suites and just play the game for, like, 3 days in a row and get, like, to order room service and fucking get... How do we get on that list, Justin Fick?
Yeah, man. Let's get on this list. We'll fucking just order room service on someone else's dime. We'll just play games weeks before they come out and just get shit-faced.
Fear and Loathing with Deus Ex.
Fear and Loathing at Ion Storm.
Yeah.
Or Eidos now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Eidos. I forgot. Yeah. I guess they're... somebody bought that name, right? But they aren't still around as... Who am I thinking? I don't know. I'm getting confused. Anyway, let's move on to...
They're part of Square now.
Let's move on to some XBLA news and PSN news. Sonic CD races to XBLA and PlayStation Network. A new port of the Sega CD original makes its way to current-gen systems. It also says PC on here. This game is already on the PC because I own Sonic CD on the PC. Yeah. Yeah. One-upped you there, Sega. Forgot you released it. Don't worry. I was there for that. But this was actually, I thought this was the shit one, but this is actually supposedly one of the best Sonic games.
Okay. I was under the impression that it was shit, too, but...
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of, like, Sonic...
I jumped off the Sonic train.
Yeah, after. No, this was, like, the last, they had, like, the originals, and then this one came out, was really good, and then after that, they went to Hell in a Handbasket. But this is like, a supposedly really, really good, well-put-together Sonic game, so that's cool. I mean, it's Sonic Spinball. Dude, I played that on the emulator the other day. Like, damn. I'm so glad games aren't like this anymore. Like, it's so hard. And you would, I can't imagine having the attention span to play through that entire, because you lose, like, it's got, like, maybe 5 pinball boards, but you only have 3 lives. And if you, like, go down the gutter 3 times, oh, back to board 1 now. Like, oh, Jesus.
Dude, you know what was a great fucking pinball game?
What's that?
Was the Metroid Prime pinball.
Oh, that was pretty good. Yeah. And it had the rumble pack.
Oh yeah.
It didn't really shake that much. It was just a
And the thing is, like, that's not even an IP that you would think would make a good pinball.
Yeah, game. And did anything else ever use that rumble pack? I don't think so. Maybe, like, one or two. What a stupid thing. But, yeah, what are some other pinball games? You've all obviously got Virtua? No. I think it was... Oh, what? Galactic Pinball was the one on the Virtual Boy. That's a fucking classic. the arcade game. Okay. Oh, this is a good tip. What is that called? It's an Atari game called Video Pinball. Have you ever played this, Justin?
Okay. No.
I had played it on emulator, and it was stupid as shit. It's like these horrid 8-bit graphics you can barely see, and you're clicking on things, and it's like, I thought to myself, why would anyone ever play this? Like, it's simulated pinball with, you know, on a digital screen. It's totally stupid. And then I saw the real cabinet in real life, and I really immediately realized, oh my god, that's I'm so dumb. Because it's, like, projected onto a piece of glass above, like, a pinball table. So it looks, like, when you're actually playing it looks very, like, space age and high tech, like you live in the goddamn future and you're playing future pinball. But when you play it on an emulator, you don't get, it's just, like, a black screen. You don't get any of that.
Okay. So there's a whole table under it that you don't see.
Right, right. Let me see if I can find a picture of it. All right.
Yeah, send me that heat.
Video Pinball, I think. But it's, and they also had one for Tron that was like Video Pinball 2, and it was the same sort of way where you couldn't really tell from the emulator. Well, these pictures aren't really doing it justice here, just because you can't really. But it's sort of that same thing of, like, you know, you see vector graphics in games, and then you look at the actual cabinet with vector graphics, and you're like, wow, that looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
These are all just horribly terrible. Well, I'll send you this picture.
Yeah, it's hard to see.
But you can, like, can you see at the top of that where you can see, like, down in there is, like, a cutout, like, wood thing? Yep. And then there's glass above it. And, like, you look down onto that glass and you can, like, it's like the wood is there. I wish I could find a better picture of this because it's really fucking cool looking. But they're just not coming up here.
I'm assuming that huge flash in the middle is the projector.
Here we go. Here's one. This will show you.
Right.
Oh, God damn it. Fucking file not found. Are you kidding me? Boom. There you go. In fact, that's even from this year. This is probably the exact same machine I was looking at.
Okay. Oh, hot.
You see what I'm saying? Like, it's like you're looking.
Oh, man. Dude, that's kind of cool.
Dude, it was super cool. And you can see Video Pinball 2 underneath if you scroll down. The Tron-themed one. It wasn't quite as cool as the, but yeah, dude, it was awesome.
Interesting. That's kind of sick, actually.
Because when you play it on an emulator, it's just the white pucks and stuff and black.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's kind of nothing without the board underneath. Interesting.
All right. Enough wasting time on that.
Yeah, getting back on track, Blake Buck. I've actually always wanted to, I've always wanted to try making a pinball game.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because pinball is right up there with, like, classic arcade games, because it's all about the randomness that, you know, I know you love so much, Justin Fink.
Yeah. Well, that and then, you know, I mean, I think no one's really embraced what computers can do to pinball. So, I mean, like for instance, like, pinball goes apeshit when you get multi-ball, right? And you get three balls, and it's like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, this is crazy. What if he had like 50?
That's an old Justice Fix school of game design right here.
Multiply everything by 10.
What's fun in a game? Killing dudes? Multiply that times 50. Now you got a 50 times as fun game.
But then the other thing I was thinking, and I was thinking about this back when, you know, Kill Monty was still new shit. I was like, what if you take, like, you know, what if you have dudes walking around, right, mm-hmm. and you hit them with the ball and they splatter and the body parts sort of become multi-ball. So you sort of, like, smash through, like, 100 dudes and all their body parts are bouncing off of lights and bumpers and shit. And it's just like, and that's where all your points come from. So no points for, like, killing dudes, but all their body parts and shit just splatter on stuff and give you the points.
That's insane. What you just said was insane. Anyway, Sonic CD. We've also got Mortal Kombat is getting re-released for the PSN and Xbox 360. So this is the classic Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, which we've talked about this before, how everybody just throws original Mortal Kombat 3 under the bus. Apparently it was so shit that it's never included on any of these packs.
Three, I've never even played.
Yeah, I think...
I played the shit out of one. I played a little bit of two, and then I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. So this is coming out on August 31st? Okay. Is that right? Oh, that's pretty soon. Arcade Perfect. It's going to be 10... Really? 10 bucks each game, and you have a handful of achievements, including on the package is priced at 10. So wait... Are you gonna get all three for 10? That's pretty fucking cheap.
That's not bad at all.
See, wait, let me make sure that it's blah blah blah. It turns out when today is announced, the flagship fighting franchise downloadable arcade collection will include arcade perfect ports. Yeah, so it's all three. That's pretty nice. 10 bucks for three Mortal Kombat games. That's pretty high.
That sounds like a jank to me.
There you go. That's a premature jank.
It's a premature ejaculation.
Oh, Lord. All right, Jessica, what's your last story for us?
All right, my last one is a small one, but people from EA, Frank Gibeau, has said that the PS Vita has a better chance than the 3DS.
Hmm.
So there have been a couple of people who've been, you know, poo-pooing on the Vita as of late, so the Crytek CEO... saying that it's, you know, too late in a world focused on tablets and mobile devices. And then Heavy Iron Studios president said that people don't want it.
Hmm.
But, yeah, Frank Gibeau is...
is Heavy Iron. We talked about them last week, right? That clown developer. Was that not the same thing, remember? We're talking about it was
Clown developer.
Like last week, it was Heavy Iron Studios, and we looked them up, and they did like a bunch of bullshit THQ games. Is that the same company?
Yes. That's how prominent they are. I've already forgotten who the fuck they are.
Oh, Heavy Iron, with your UFC titles and pre-existing IPs to sell your shit games.
Yeah, so, you know, sort of like a counterpoint to those two guys. I mean, obviously, you know, Crytek, we're not playing any Crytek games in this fucking thing anyway, and I don't want to play any Heavy Iron games, so great, good riddance to you. But EA has said that, you know, there's some really unique innovation in the control scheme, and that...
Is there?
In the control scheme, the technology, and the screen. Well,
is there
for a handheld console? Yeah,
I thought. Well, I mean, I guess technically, yeah.
There's nothing brand spanking new in it, but
it's the first official dual analog.
Yeah,
technically.
So it sort of takes all the innovation of the last, you know, like couple of years and takes the best parts of it and puts it into one handheld. So you have dual analog touchscreen. I don't know about the rear touchscreen. That might be cool. Who the fuck knows?
I don't know. Who did that? All right, man. Everybody loves these touchscreens. Yeah. Slap one on the back. Why?
On the back.
I don't know. Fuck. I can do whatever I want. Who the fuck are you? You're fired. Hell, I'm going to put one on your face.
It's one of those things where we think about it, and it's like, how the hell is that possibly useful? But I don't know. There might be some cool shit that comes out of that.
Sure, but it just seems like it seems like they're just kind of, you know, oh, let's put a microphone so you can blow into it and yeah. Let's
look
a temperature gauge so you can go outside and it's hot.
I don't want to blow into any sort of handheld ever. So Mr. Frank goes on to say, regarding the 3DS. I don't think they're quite... Yeah, he says, I don't think they're quite in the same boat as the 3DS. The 3DS was a really interesting piece of technology, but I think there was some confusion over it, and the title slate was a little different. He says, I think the Vita has a better chance because it has a stronger title slate at launch, which it already does.
That's true.
You know,
And I also know that, like, Sony is not going to rev it... Like even just looking at the 3DS, you know that it's gonna get revved in less than a year. They're gonna totally overhaul it in less than a year. The Vita, I really doubt that. It's gonna be at least two years before they, you know, redo it and it's better and faster and smaller and whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean I'm really rooting for this thing. I mean it just seems really solid.
Well, as a counterpoint to that, just Vic, I've got a rumor that Nintendo might be prepping an attachment of sorts, some sort of plug-in for the 3DS. So,
oh man,
a lot of people have apparently been, I don't have a 3DS, but apparently a lot of people have been complaining about the thumb pad, saying it kind of like wears out. Have you seen these reports about this, Justin Fick?
No, but I mean, I played with the 3DS a little while, and it does feel a little, I don't know, cheap isn't the word, but... I mean, compared to the rest of the controls, it's a little rickety.
Well, they're talking about it's going to be some sort of plug-in. This is just a rumor by, who is this? 01net, which is a Nintendo something-something.
Formed by Geohot.
Right. But it's saying that there's going to be some sort of plug-in to perhaps give you analog control or better thumbstick control. You know, I can certainly see, I don't think they're going to quite go the way of Sony and try and have... the two thumbsticks, but, you know, it certainly seems like they're already ready to rev it. I don't know if it's going to be this soon or be quite so far or far-reaching as to be, like, adding extra analog controls, but, you know, it's certainly a possibility, so I think Nintendo's probably waiting for to see how the Vita does to address those problems.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, that's all the news we got. Slow news week this week. Let's go on to releases. Just to pick what we got.
All right, kicking us off, we got Warhammer 40K Space Marine. In Warhammer 40K Space Marine, you play as Captain Titus of the Ultramarines, who is humanity's last hope for survival in a war-ridden future.
Now, this is the like the Gears of War kind of looking shooter, right?
Yeah.
Based on the let me get these screenshots lit. I need to see them. Well, supposedly this looks all right. It's done by Relic. This is certainly their first foray into anything of a shooter variety. They did Homeworld back in the day. Man, oh fuck, dude, what are we doing? Why are we doing anything besides playing Homeworld 2 right now? Oh my god, what the fuck happened? God damn, I want to play that game now. Oh man, what? Where's Homeworld 3? Why are you making this dumb shit? God, I'm going to go have to find... I have a Mac version of that buried somewhere I got from Tunsir Dena's Mini Moon. Back when he was when he was paying me to write article. Oh, my God, that was...
He paid you in Homeworld?
No, yeah. It was like, if you write X number of articles a month... This is how it worked back in the day for anybody who wrote for Inside Mac Games. But if you wrote X number of articles a month, you got to pick a free game at the end of the month.
Oh, man.
One of those games was Homeworld 2. Because God knows I ain't paying $50 fucking. Or wasn't at the time.
And God knows you ain't picking James Bond 007 Nightfire. Or Age of Mythology.
Yeah, well, oh, man, I wish I could remember that whole list. Oh, it's so funny. Man, oh, I know I said this a few shows ago. Man, we've been doing this show a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hope you're welcome, Internet. Or you're thankful for one of those words.
Well, I remember the first show was a bit after Kill Monty came out, so that would have been 2005.
Oh my god!
So what, 6.5 years?
Oh, don't no, it couldn't have been that long because Kill Monty was already out when I'm. Well, no, I guess you're right. Yeah, it was a little while after Kill. Oh my god. Oh Jesus. It's an episode.
And how far we've come.
Yeah, I'm trying to Google when the first one came out. Come on, Google. IMG Podcast Episode 1. Here we go. Oh, no, this isn't it. This isn't it. This is... Why am I doing this now? I don't know. I'm stupid. Yeah, 11-19-06 is what it says. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that is a long time ago.
11-19-06. All right. So, 5.5 years.
Damn.
4.5. Long time. 5 years.
Anyway, we've also got Dead Island coming out this week. Dead Island is going to be on the 360, PC, and PS3. This is that game you were so excited about the trailer, Justin Fick, and so was everybody else.
It was a great trailer. What can I say?
And now it seems like all the press I read on this is just poop. Nobody seems to be into this game anymore.
I mean, that's kind of what I was afraid of, is they put all their points into trailer and none into game.
Well, hey, you know what? You, apparently, if you put all your money into marketing, that works somehow. So
yeah, but then, you know, if you got to have a game to cash in on, or you end up like that. Like, remember that fucking kid, was it Luke Bernard, who would post, like, these really awesome screenshots of games, and then the game itself would just be unadulterated shit?
What games? What was a game he did?
Oh, God, I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. It was like Shadows something or other. Yeah. Fucking.
Well, I'm looking at these screenshots here of Dead Island. It looks like, you know, it looks like one of dozens of zombie games I've already played. But, you know, I guess there's kids out there like, oh, man, zombies are officially, they are the new World War II.
Yeah.
Like, the new World War II was modern war. Now it's zombies. Resistance 3.
All right. By the way, it was Eternity's Child was the game.
Eternity's Child.
It was so shite.
That one, I keep looking. Oh, no, my startup disk is almost full. I got to quit Googling. We got to hurry. Wait, it started. That means I got less than... Oh, Lord. I got to keep an eye on my megs. Hurry, Justin Fink.
I can continue.
Yeah, round off our releases here.
All right, we got Resistance 3. So next Resistance game, take up arms of the remaining human survivors as you fight against the Chimeran race in Resistance 3. You've played this game before. Disgaea 4, A Promise Unforgotten, is the latest incarnation of the popular Disgaea strategy role-playing series. I want to get into this, actually.
Bro,
I never played the original Disgaea, and I want to.
What is that? What is Disgaea? Did I play this? Which one is this?
Basically, it's, you know, it's sort of the Justin Fick School of Design put on Final Fantasy Tactics. So it's like, you like Final Fantasy Tactics? Everything multiplied by 10.
Huh. I think I like that.
So I kind of want to go back and get the first one. And I heard you can put like a billion hours into it and you won't find everything either.
Damn.
All right, moving along, we got Rise of Nightmares. It's a Kinect game. It will take you into a cinematic world of horrific blood and violence and will be one of the first mature games to hit the Xbox 360 Kinect.
Hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
I haven't heard of this, but at least it's something new. It's not another swat at the screen game.
Yep. Driver San Francisco.
Oh my god, dude! I played a demo of this new Driver.
Thumbs up.
Oh my god, it was bad. It's just like I couldn't figure out how to drive. The cars felt so floaty. You know, like you're turning the corners and it feels like It feels like I'm driving a parade float that's going really fast. And, like, you can switch cars, or, like, somehow you're, like, I don't know, a ghost or something. I had the sound off. I was
just wondering if you can jump out of your car and jump into another one.
You're like, I had the sound off because I was not listening at all to the story. That might have been part of it, too. I was just, like, listening to music and, what's this shit? Fine, do it. The crap, turn it off. But, I don't know. Maybe if I gave it a little more time, but I was not impressed at all. By the demo.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas to a point, and then Grand Theft Auto 4 big time, and then it got hammered home with Saints Row 2, is cars should not handle like cars in games. Like, I don't know. Like, realistic car handling is shit. Just give me a fucking car that can turn on a dime, that can flip around with an e-brake. Just give me Saints Row cars from now on. Like, they do it fun. Like, I don't care how realistic it is. I don't want that. If I want realistic cars, I'll play Gran Turismo, and then I'll just drive into a wall and stay there for fucking five minutes, and then go back to Saints Row 2.
Yeah. We've had this debate of realism in games, but, you know, it's just like movies, right? What are movies about? It's about a boy named Bob. He goes to work and then he goes home. That's realistic, right? Nobody wants to watch that fucking movie. You want to watch something that's, you know, the life hangs in the balance. You know, it's do or die. I mean, in the same way, we want games to be fun. Playing to that realism is part of a game's fun, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that no one in Star Wars is shown taking a dump.
That is the strangest metaphor I've ever heard.
But I mean, it's true. It's like these characters have to go take shits, but you know, there's no reason to ever show that.
Why is that what you think of? You're like, all right, what's a good example of realism? Oh, shitting in Star Wars. That sounds like a country western song. And they were sitting in Star Wars all day long.
these are the places my mind goes, Blake.
Dude, I'm trying to get back on task, but I have like literally maybe like 60 seconds till I run out of disk space. And this podcast grinds to a halt.
Oh, shit.
I gotta delete some porn or something. Like, I'm hurrying. The bars are filling, but no, we can keep going. I think it'll make it. I got 117 megs left.
All right. Quickly rounding out. Let's see. Star Fox 64 3D for the 3DS. This isn't the new one. This is a remake of Star Fox 64. So that means it might be fun.
I also see this Crimson Alliance game, which I wanted to get by buying all those XBLA games, but then it was like, man, that sure is a lot of money. Like, damn, like four of them are $15. That's like $60. It would be like $70 to buy. It's like, oh, you get this one free game for spending $70? But this is like a roguelike, correct?
Yeah, it's an all-new action role-playing game. Heavy emphasis on combat over character interaction. So,
I think they already sounds got cool the game, to me. But maybe it'll be fun, whatever. And deleting porn folder, empty trash. Don't worry, I moved it to the external drive. It's still there. I'll clean up later. Literally on my computer and you gotta go on my computer.
Yeah, you gotta go through that shit first to take out the gems.
I'm gonna have to clean up other things too.
And then trash the rest. Oh.
All right, there we go. God damn, 3.5 gigs available. Sweet.
Good God.
I know what I like. All right. Ladies, this man knows
what
he has
a lot of it. He likes pictures of you on Facebook.
All right, let's go on to tapes. Justin Vick, have you got any tapes for us this week? I got two tentative tapes I can talk about.
Yeah, I got a few, but not a whole lot. I've been kind of busy this week. So my first tape is I finished up Shadow Planet.
Nice. Oh, well, fuck it. I was going to talk about that tape. Because, dude, by the way, I am beating you. I don't know if you knew that or not. I got to 95% in Shadow Planet. Bitch! Boom!
Was this map completion?
No, fucking campaign completion, son. I got it all. Come on, baby.
Dude, I beat that fucking game. I'm done.
Yeah, I beat it too. What you want? Let's fight. I beat you in a game.
Dude, did I just
beat Justin Fick in a game? Oh my God.
I got percentage of it. What is my percentage?
Yours is like at 85, son. You got nothing.
Really?
You got nothing on this man.
What am I missing? Am I missing like extras or something? I'm missing a few things.
I'm missing three of the what are they called? The artifacts. But I got everything else.
Yeah, yeah. I have to get an artifact. I maxed out all the ship upgrades. I have to get some extras. Oh, you know what? I haven't been online in like a week.
Ah,
because my Xbox Live ran out, and I'm still just deciding whether I want to renew it. I probably should.
Mm.
And then your celebration will be short-lived.
Aha. Well, I guess we'll both talk about this then, I guess.
Yeah.
But, what did you think of the ending or the game as a whole?
I loved it. I thought the only parts that kind of let me down were the boss battles. Mm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I really got really frustrated on the ice boss. Because I didn't know that, like, sometimes because the game has this whole thing where, like, oh, we're not going to ever tell you what to do. And, like, even if you go to, like, how to play in the options, it's all just graphics and stuff because, oh, we're being cool. You know, we're not going to say words. We don't need words, man.
Mm-hmm. So the ice boss was the one where you had to hit the outside right. with the
and
missiles
then,
and bust the and bust
you
the
had,
inside walls.
You had
walls
to bust the inside walls by, like, using the little pulling magnetic grapple hook thing, right, or whatever that is. Because it doesn't have a name, because nothing in that game has words associated with it. But the purple gun. And
okay. Yeah, I remember just hitting the things on the outside with missiles, which kill the shit, and then you just sort of weave the missile into it.
I didn't realize you had to hit those things on the outside, because I couldn't see them, because the art style so closely matched. Like, because it's made of spiky blue things, but some of these spiky blue things have runes on them, which means you can interact with them, right? And it's like, oh, I'm an asshole
because
I didn't see that tiny detail on this zoomed
out
screen.
Yeah, the boss, I never had a problem with figuring out what to do. I always gave him a couple blasts with a little scanner.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, like, it was pretty obvious of what needed to be done.
You know, I didn't like how the game ended, though. Like, the last boss, it was, first of all, dude, I was doing it way wrong. They told you to use the little saw thing, right? Dude, that you can't even kill it with the saw, I don't think. I tried, like...
Oh, no, you can't even fucking
I don't know why, there. Like, I tried that, like, 10, 15 times. I was on it for, like, an hour. And I was like, well, fuck this, I'm gonna use the pew-pew beam. Done. Took 10 seconds. Mm. Why didn't I just fucking... Ugh.
See, I just made it work with the... With the buzzsaw, I got really good. Just like balls out, just go in there. You sort of like sweep the bullets out of my way in front with it, and then just fucking spear them all, you know, over and over again. Yeah. But I mean, the other thing that sort of made me curious is I don't know if you remember this part in the purple zone, the first area, but there's this one part with this giant beating heart,
right?
Type thing that you never go back
to. Yeah, I don't know if this... I haven't found all the secrets in the game, but yeah, I don't... There's a couple of things where, like, I don't know. It seems like you didn't fully. That's one thing I didn't really didn't. An overall thing I didn't like. It feels like it wasn't enough. You know, in terms like the story. There's, you know, there's no dialogue or anything like that. But I mean, it starts off with like you're on your planet, and then it gets taken over by the shadow fucking devils or whatever, and you go to the shadow planet to stop it, and that's cool. But then, you know, you get to the end of the game. There's this big shadowy guy, and you killed it. Now it's dead. You win. Like that. There's nothing else at, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted to fucking sit down and talk to the shadow
I'm wondering
creatures.
if we're missing something. I wonder if we have to go collect the artifacts.
Maybe, yeah, you collect the little artifacts, you get little cutscenes and stuff. But even then, I mean, if that's your story, if your story is, like, hidden behind, like, a thing that most people won't get, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, it felt like I was kind of
hoping. Metroid, not so much, but Castlevania games did that. Like, you had to go collect, you know, certain items and have them ready to, you know, and like you have to go out of your way to collect something else to get the best ending. So I'm wondering if we need to get all the artifacts and that'll give us something cool.
Maybe, but the standard,
it did just sort of.
It's just like, you killed it. The you win. Great job. It's like the end of a Rampage on the. I remember I played.
Oh God,
I'm playing that game hours, and you get to the fucking end.
That pissed
end. It's like,
me off so you win, much. Great job. I played that game all fucking day and night. Because
you can beat it. Like even if you suck, you have basically unlimited lives, I think. But you get to the end of it, it's like, good job, you win. Like not even like a screen of like the character's thumbs up and it says you win. That would have been satisfying. But it's just like a blue screen with white text that says.
Yeah, it just says congratulations.
That's what beating Shadow Planet felt like. The modern day equivalent.
I agree. Yeah, the more I think of it, maybe there's a better ending somewhere that, you know, that we're not getting. Because the thing is, like, that game's been in development for long enough. It should have.
But even if it does, let's say it has the world's greatest ending. You know, most people aren't going to see it. You know, you shouldn't lock. Don't lock. That's like releasing a game and it sucks, but all the good shit you have to unlock. Yeah, we're going to punch you. This is called punch you in the dick until I'm losing my mind. This doesn't make. I was going to say, this is my game. Charlie Blake's new game. He's going to punch you in the dick for 12 hours until you give him $1 million. And then he'll have sex with you. Nobody wants to play that game.
New BDPE tape. Punch you in the dick.
You know what? You know what? I think the problem is, Justin Fink, I have not had anything to drink on this podcast, and I don't think my mind's all here. I'm a little out of it.
Blake Buck needs to get warmed up.
I'm telling you.
With a little hooch.
This Coke is not working. And I'm not the good kind of Coke either. All right. So did you have any other thoughts on
No,
Shadow
that's
Planet?
Kind of it. I mean, I completely enjoyed the game. It was worth the money. It was a little short.
A little short.
But it was, you know, I enjoyed it. Like, I don't feel ripped off or anything. I actually found the length kind of refreshing that it's, you know, something I can blow through quickly.
That's true.
You know.
Man, I'm still hammering away at stacking. Been trying to beat that goddamn game. Because, you know, you get that, you like get to a section, you know, this is me in any game. You get to a section, it's like, oh, you could just beat it like this, or you could spend a little more time here and you could really beat it real good. And I feel like, well, now I can't go on. I got to be the best. I don't want to be that asshole who didn't get all this shit. So I've been going really slow, but I'm almost at the end of stacking. So maybe I'll have you guys a final tape overview. But let's see, what's your, did you have any other games?
Not really, like, I kind of got sucked into a little iPhone game the last couple days. It's a little piece of shit, but, actually, you know what, fuck that game. I got another one. It just came out on Mac and PC
It's called
free.
Fishing Ninja.
So it's,
Ninja Fishing.
No, fuck that game. Fuck that game in the butt with a shovel. But no, the game I'm thinking of, it's called Forget Me Not.
Okay. What is Forget Me
Not? It's kind of like an old, it's not an old game, but it sort of emulates an old like Amiga or Commodore 64 or arcade game kind of thing.
Okay.
It's kind of like if you would mix Pac-Man, a shooter, and a roguelike.
This sounds amazing or awful.
It's actually pretty cool. It took me a couple games to really get into the groove of it. But it's a lot of fun. I keep finding myself going back to it. So you're this little square dude, and it gives you this randomly generated maze.
Okay.
And every, you know, every square in the maze that's open has a little flower on it.
Okay.
And you have to eat all the flowers, and then there's a key somewhere, and you have to get the key. Once you get all the flowers, there's a little lock that appears somewhere, and you have to go get into it to go to the next level. But the whole, you know, the whole thing of it is there's like these randomly generated monsters that are popping in everywhere, and there's different types of beasties. There's like, you know, there's some that shoot back at you. There's some that, you know, chase you down. There's bombs that'll, you know, it's, you know, sort of chill, but as soon as you shoot them, they'll chase you down, explode. There's centipedes and, you know, and there's all kinds of cool shit that can happen. And you're also always shooting. So it's actually another mechanic where, for instance, the tunnels in Pac-Man that send you from one side to the next, those are randomly generated as well. And if there's a clean path all the way through, the bullets will actually wrap around forever. And they can actually shoot you in the back, or you can shoot a bunch there and wait for guys to walk into it. There's a lot of cool things you can do.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at some screenshots. This looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's really fun. So, I mean, it just came out today on the Mac and PC for free. And you can get it on the iPhone for...
Oh, well, now you tell me. I just fucking bought it on my phone, asshole. God damn you, Justin.
Well, I mean, I play it on my phone and my iPad also.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot of cool mechanics to it. Like, I find myself continuing to go back to it. And it's, you know, it's just got a lot of cool, like, old school sounds and effects and... I don't know. I like it a lot. Thumbs up.
All right. Last.
And then, you know, on Mac and PC, like, the price is right, too. So.
Right.
Can't go wrong.
The only thing I got for you, it's a quick one. And, Jessica, you already talked about it a little bit. But I tried out Fruit Ninja Connect on the 360. And, you know, it's exactly what you would think Fruit Ninja Connect is. It's you slice. If you haven't played the original Fruit Ninja on iPhone or iPad or whatever, fruit goes in the air, you swat at it with your finger on the iPhone or iPad, and you cut it, and you don't want to cut the bombs because that makes you lose, and they sort of have variations with different modes and stuff, but it's actually surprisingly fun. I really liked it. I'm a big fan of this on the iPad and iPhone. On the Xbox, it works just about as well, but, you know, again, we talked about this, how it's not quite one-to-one on the Kinect. You know,
okay,
and it's still very good, still very convincing, you know, but at the same time, also, it's kind of weird how, like, you can move, but if you move really fast, it's considered a slice, but you can move slower and it's not a slice. So I thought that was a little strange. Also, like, I don't know, you really want to hit stuff with one hand, even though you can use two hands, you know, you get those multipliers if it's all in one swipe. So part of that was like a little strange, and like, I don't, I think it's a lot harder than on, I really fucking suck at it. Maybe once I get better at this game, I'll have a better outlook on it, but I think it's $10, you know, and if you're into the original and learn, the other thing is you can play it two player. That seems like where the real fun would be, is playing with somebody else.
Also, that's a little steep considering the iPhone one is $1.
Well, but then again, also consider the average price of everything on fucking XBLA is about $15 these days. Whatever happened to... Remember when, like, all games were $5 on XBLA? This was not even so long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, people complain about gas prices. XBLA prices are through the roof. Write your congressman.
Well, I think it's just because the level of XBLA games is going way up, too.
That's true.
Like, if you think back to when all the games were
like Contra,
I mean, they were very simple games.
Right.
But I mean, they're quickly becoming, you know, sort of like the platform for all indie developers now of all sizes. So, I mean, you'll get, simple games, and you'll also get stacking and, all the Double Fines things and, you know, like games like Bastion that technologically are really complex.
God, I really want to play Trenched. I'm really only beating stacking because I want to play Trenched. It's like, I have to beat this one first. But
Didn't that game get a new name, by the way?
In Europe, it has another name.
Okay.
It's called...
Out here, it's still Trenched.
Yeah. I forget what it is in Europe, but I saw that article. Anyway... what was I gonna say? Oh, remember how last week I was like totally gonna play Zelda? What do you think happened, Justin Fick?
You didn't play Zelda.
Well, I don't have it. It's over at my... I haven't been to my brother's house. This is not my fault. It's my fault. I'm the worst. Anyway, let's say, I guess that's it for tapes. Do you have any more tapes for us, Justin Fick?
Nope, I got no more tapes for us, Blake Buck.
All right, it's time for feedback. God damn it, we've already been going for an hour. I was thinking, oh, we're going to make good time on this show. Fucking...
An hour's pretty good time for us.
I had to delete all my porn, too. This show is not ending up like...
A travesty. Yeah,
this is an awful show. Where is our feed? Here we go.
Super Derp writes in, Blake, you have to be prepared for this with your Matlock theme.
I'm always on it. Don't worry.
If all has gone well, you have just made me the happiest man on earth. Super Derp, Blake Smart.
No, I hate to say something. I hate to keep being like, oh, you know what I'm going to do next week? I really want to make some sort of 8-bit version of the Matlock theme. I don't know how. I'm going to go back and listen through, recreate all the parts on, you know, a Commodore 64 sound chip or something. One day.
Do you have any like chips, oh, like, dude, any plugins,
dude,
for that?
Dude, I got the one. I got.
What's that?
It's called Plug Chip Sounds, and it's
okay.
It's basically like a pack of. I don't think they're from samples. I think they're created off like analog models of all these chips, but they don't show any of the actual names of the systems, but they show like shadow outlines and refer to them by their like the chip name of the sound chip on it.
Okay,
but
interesting.
Oh, dude, it's got every single 8-bit. And, you know, 8-bit.
Do they charge for that heat, or is that,
yeah,
a free,
I think,
download?
I got it ages ago, right when it came out, and it was like half off or something. I think it's maybe like $50.
Oh, that's
but
not,
dude,
bad.
It's yeah. Let me see. I'll find you a link.
Not yeah, to, I
not
want
to,
that.
Not
heat.
To waste time here, but oh man, dude, it's awesome.
Yeah, because I've been using for Laserface Jones. I used one called Chip 32.
Yeah, yeah, I've used that one before. It's all right.
Yeah, I mean it's very simple, but you can draw the waveform in, which is pretty cool.
Go here, but don't do this now, but like watch their little YouTube video. All the like 8-bit stuff of any of the tracks you've heard on BDPE or the other ones I've sent you are all using that.
Okay, yeah, do one.
All right, I'll take our last email.
All right.
It's from Pete B. It says, oh, actually, we already talked about this. U.S. GameStop removing online codes from Deus Ex. The 6-axis PS3 and Xbox 360 news trophies and opinion, August 21st, open boxes. So I guess he's just forwarding us this article about the travesty of GameStop. Dude, just throw GameStop in the gutter. I wish they would just not exist.
They're done.
Oh, my God. It's
the
not
time
soon
is
enough.
Come and gone.
Now, the sad thing is they're going to be around for at least another few more years, and it's... Ugh.
Oh, yeah, but they're on the way out, and they know it.
Pete B., always good for a link. Thank you, sir. And I guess that does it for this week of the Best Damn Podcast Ever. What do you think about that, Justin Fick?
That was a good show. Nice and nice and concise.
A little lower key, you know, than 2 weeks ago when I was babbling drunk and incoherent. Surely we can find a happy medium between me stone sober and babbling about whatever. I literally remember very little of that episode. Because I was trying to write the show notes, and it was like, yeah, got nothing from that. If you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Call the listener line 845-BATTLE-9. Thanks to Pseudo-Sushi. Dude, apparently Pseudo-Sushi is, like, dying or dead.
Dude, I saw that somewhere in the forums. Like, he's in the hospital or something, isn't he?
Apparently.
I'm going back to the forums. I'm finding out where, what happened to our Pseudo-Sushi.
So our site is probably dead forever. If anything goes wrong, I don't know how to fix it. You're just boned. Let's hope that nothing happens. We also got to thank TK and, of course, Craig Reed. He's doing... I have to keep, like, laying on the praise for Craig Reed because I shit on him so hard.
You needlessly shit on him.
And I guess that about does it. So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
And I am Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.
Wow.
I had to delete my porn. What the fuck?
We'll be right back.